Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
You are about to hear the most interesting, informative, thought-provoking, opinion-leading, and funny show in America, on air and on the World Wide Web. This is The Rob Carson Show.
This, my friends, is hour number two of The Rob Carson Show. At the bottom of the hour, one of my favorite investigative reporters, Gabe Kaminsky of The Washington Examiner. We're going to be talking about a number of things, including the American government funding terrorism-tied NGOs, B-I-N-G-O. And, of course, they've made, they're paying billions and billions of dollars to NGOs to put up illegals in hotels across the country, to give them gift cards, among other things. They did the same thing with regard to COVID. Our money is being wasted left and right by the billions. It is being corrupted by the billions. COVID alone, they say $500 billion in fraud every year, $235 billion in fraud throughout the federal government. And it's time to throw off these people, these individuals. I mean this sincerely. I am so grateful that these times have brought us together, have brought us, you, me, all of us together, because now we know. Now we know what was going on behind the scenes. Now we know how absolutely broken and corrupt our federal government is. But you know what? The fight's not over. It's just beginning, and we're knee deep in it. We really are. We're knee deep in it right now. When you look at the breach of the southern border secretly, and most recently yesterday, we find out that, 325,000 illegals flown directly from their countries of origin into 50 American cities. They will not divulge the cities, and they will not divulge the country of origin. We have a massive influx of Chinese military-aged individuals coming across the southern border. We have people coming in from Iran, Iraq, and Turkey, and terrorist states around the world. You have to realize, and I said this morning, and I came to the realization last night, if you've ever asked you the question, if you've ever asked the question or heard the question, what different would Joe Biden do if he wanted to destroy the country? And the answer is nothing. There you go. That's all you need to know. I got to play this clip from Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, she's a conspiracy theorist and a white supremacist and all that. And she was at Mar-a-Lago last night. She was confronted by a British reporter who decided to turn the interview and become quite snarky. And MTG was going to have nothing with it.
What do you think the message should be to Nikki Haley tonight?
Well, we've been encouraging her to drop out and support President Trump. And I think tonight is the clear message that President Trump is the clear front runner. He's the winner in our Republican primary, and it's time for Nikki Haley to drop out and support him.
Well, that's very conciliatory and very kind there, MTG. But this reporter was going to have none of it because she's a D-bag.
Do you think President Trump, Mr. Trump, is closer to picking his VP, and should you be on that list?
Oh, you know, that's the question everyone asks. And no, I don't think Nikki Haley should be on the list. But of course, President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you like?
Hold on a second, because this reporter is going to completely become a tool of the state. Just wait.
To be on that list?
He's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me. But I can assure you it won't be Nikki Haley.
Now it's time for her to become a complete, yeah.
Can you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself?
There we go.
He seems to attract lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So.
Okay, it's going to get really good now. You ready for this?
Jewish space lasers. Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers, and really, why don't you
go, all right, woo, MTG. Woohoo! Meow, baby. That was epic. That was really good. I like that. Just telling her, giving her a little what fur, if you will. You know, honestly, it was a great interview until that. And then that snarky bleepity bleepity bleep decides to pull something stupid like that. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely. Oh, by the way, did you know Jason Palmer won American Samoa? Did you know that? Yeah. Jason Palmer, who describes himself on his campaign website as an impact investor and entrepreneur, won American Samoa's Democratic contest against Joe Biden. Yeah. Palmer, who resides in Baltimore and is a Quaker, has worked for groups and an investment firm along with organizations including Microsoft, the Bill and Linda Gates Foundation, New Markets Venture Partners, and Kaplan Education. Excuse me. All right. His campaign website says he has experience in small business and multi-partisan fluency, blah, 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 blah. 52-year-old has branded himself as Biden's young Democrat opponent. In a letter published on his site, he described himself as the purple candidate, noting that while he identifies as a Democrat, my positions also sound Republican. Yeah. Let me see what else about this guy. Americans are being bombarded with a perfect storm of multiple foreign wars, high inflation, racial and ethnic tensions, climate change, increasing crime, the last vestiges of global pandemic, and artificial intelligence that could eliminate half of all jobs by 2030. Traditional candidates for public office are stoking the flames, offering 20th century solutions to 21st century problems. My campaign adds to pull America out of these conflicts by offering a very different, positive, optimistic vision of reinventing America, the American dream in the 21st century. Holy crap! He sounds like JFK. And of course, the Democrat Party will summarily, erase him. I don't know if you knew this, but I swallowed crooked on a cough drop. Here we go. Kristen Sinema dropped out of the race for Senate. I'll play a little bit of her and why she decided to pull out, and I don't blame her, by the way.
In 2017, I warned we were approaching a crossroads. Our democracy was weakened by government dysfunction and the constant pull to the extremes by both political parties. I promised I would do my best to fix it, to protect and defend our Constitution, to listen to others without judging, to focus on what unites us, and to make Americans' lives better.
Okay, there you go. So, I'm not going to go into her entire speech last night. She's done some things that were positive. She's done some things that aligned with the left of her party. But here is Carrie Lake last night on Newsmax talking about her departure.
Thank you for having me on tonight, Eric. It is good for
on the Eric Bowling Show.
Us, because we saw that when Kyrsten Sinema made two or three courageous votes to save the filibuster, the left and the Democrats turned on her like a pack of wild dogs. Mm-hmm. And that's when Ruben Gallego came in and said, we're going to take her down. And the Democrat Party turned on her for doing something that was right.
Yep.
Now, listen, I disagree with Kyrsten Sinema on almost every policy.
Me too.
But I applaud her for her courage to stand up for the filibuster. And we're looking at polling, and we've had many polls that have been done for the entirety of this year, and it showed that she was taking a few more Republican votes than Democrats, because the Democrats have gone so full tilt to the left. Yeah. They're not even Democrats of yesteryear. They are full on, frankly, Marxist radicals.
Pretty
and
much,
so
yeah.
We're happy that Senator Sinema is now realizing that she doesn't have a path to victory. We're wishing her the best. We thank her for those courageous votes. And now we are dead set on stopping the communist push of America Democrats to basically destroy our country.
Yeah, and everybody knows it. The bud is off the rose, by the way. And again, we've been brought together at this time to experience a great awakening in this country. And to reinvent the country. Really, really, not reinvent it like foundationally, but turn it back from what it's becoming. Absolutely 100% black, white, conservative, liberal, straight, gay, whatever. We are. 77% of us believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 77% of us can bring the country and fight for the country to come back. How's that sound? To save her, if you will. Biden the Grouch is the headline. Joe Biden says he was stunned to find out that the Cookie Monster gets smaller cookies because of shrinkflation and slams companies for charging the same price for a bag of chips when you get a hell of a lot fewer. Now, he's been trying to stoke this nonsense, like he said about the oil companies when gas prices went up because he got rid of the Keystone XL pipeline. He said that, you know, the price gouging. No, you jackweed. It's your idiotic policies. Yeah, pretty much. But here is Joe Biden yesterday channeling the Cookie Monster about packages.
Fair competition is the key to my economic vision. To build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. And it's working. Wages are up more than prices. Unemployment has reached historic lows. Families are finally getting a little breathing room.
No, they're not, actually. They're paying $1,000 a month more for necessities. Oh, and wait till you hear how much it requires for you to make to buy a house in America now versus when Donald Trump was the president. You might want to have, something nearby.
In fact, some of the small snack
either a drink or a change of underwear
companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster.
Oh, dear God.
He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out.
Yeah. You know what? No matter what's in the bag, if you can't afford the freaking bag, it doesn't matter. I mean, have you bought a bag of chips lately? Have you bought anything lately? If you think it's only been 17% since Joe Biden took office, you're smoking. You're smoking that sweet, sweet crack that Hunter sneaked in, allegedly might have sneaked in to the White House and was found in a cubby, but was blown up by the Secret Service, so we'll never know. The average U.S. house price now requires a salary of $106,000 a year, $50,000 more than in 2020. Oh, that's really weird. We bought our little house in the low 200s like 4.5 years ago. And then this little house is now worth twice that. Yeah, we think that's good. No, not when you're paying 8% interest. No. Buyers must make $106,000 to make comfortably afford a property, according to Zillow, which looked at the 50 biggest metros in the U.S. That's up more than 80% from the $59,000 required in 2020, laying bare the challenges Americans face being able to get and then pay for a mortgage. Yeah. But the amounts needed vary dramatically across the U.S. In three of the most expensive cities, an average salary of more than $200,000 is needed, up by 78,000% since before the pandemic. Look at the average home across the U.S. The monthly mortgage payment has nearly doubled since 2020, up a huge 96% to an average of $2,100, assuming the 10% down payment. Mortgage rates ended January 2020 near 3.5 while they then plummeted during the COVID pandemic. Successive interest rates hikes have caused them to double in recent years. According to the latest data from the government-backed lender Freddie Mac, the average 30-year fixed rate 6.9 as of February 29th. This marked an increase the fourth consecutive week. According to Zillow, homes across the U.S. have risen 42% in that time to $343,000 2020. A house earning $59,000 could comfortably afford the monthly mortgage on a typical U.S. home. Now the roughly $106,000 needed to comfortably afford the mortgage payment on a typical home above what typical households earn each year, which is about $81,000. Yeah. Many younger Americans are living with their parents waiting for a down payment. What do you need for a down payment? In Memphis, you need $69,000. In Cleveland, $70,000. In Birmingham, $74,000. Yeah, you got to come up with all sorts of money to buy a house now. And rent's gone through the ceiling. Top four markets, California, San Jose. Homeowners would need a home, $454,000 to live there. San Francisco, $339,000. And it's a crap hole now. Los Angeles, they need $279,000. San Diego, $273,000. According to Zillow, prospective homeowners would need $213,000 to live in Seattle, which is also a crap hole. And in the New York City Metro, $205,000, which is becoming a crap hole. There you go. And if you think things are going to get better, you're wrong. Because it's not in the plan. I'll explain why on the other side of the break. And also, Dr. Phil has a little come-to-Jesus moment and says that government isn't here to fix anything. And that should be obvious. And I've got that on the other side of this break. And this is the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Remember what I told you about Joe Biden being in Washington, D.C. for 50 years and all of the problems that existed then still exist and even they're even worse? Here's a headline for you. Medicare and Social Security are both in crisis as underfunding hits $175 trillion, almost double the economic input of every country on Earth. Yeah. Medicare and Social Security in crisis face significant challenges, according to a report from the U.S. Department of Treasury, which indicates the program or programs are both underfunded to the tune of $175 trillion. I am a Generation Xer. We are the first generation to realize that Social Security is not going to be there to protect us in retirement. We have to realize that if we get anything, it'll be a little supplemental. But it isn't going to cover everything, and there's a real possibility both of those programs will go completely bankrupt before we even arrive at the finish line. This is Dr. Phil on Charlemagne Hufflegod's show the other day. Charlemagne Hufflegod is an urban influencer, meaning a whole lot of black people listen to him. Here's what he had to say.
Problem is, we got people in charge of solving problems that don't really want to solve them. Their job depends on having that problem. They need that problem to justify their existence.
That's why they don't fix the inner city schools. They don't give a crap about the crime and the 13 times the national average murder rate with black-on-black violence in places like Chicago.
They need that problem to maintain this huge bureaucracy, to maintain this big budget, this big agency. They need that problem to exist. I think we've got people in charge of solving problems that are not problem solvers.
Oh, 100%, man. I think we almost need like a come to the altar kind of music, some organ music playing here as Dr. Phil comes forward to testify. I've been to a whole bunch of different churches in my life, so I'm quite familiar with testifies. Or if you're a male athlete who's identifying as a female, testification, I think it's completely different. Here's Pete Buttigieg on MSNBC. He keeps saying, and the Biden administration keeps saying, hey, things are coming, good things are coming. You know why you're saying that? Because they want to get across the finish line of stealing this election, and they want to keep things going badly.
When something is uncontroversially and unambiguously good, it gets less attention. But that just means we have our work cut out for us. I'm not accepting that as a reason why these things are going to get less attention. I know with a lot of turmoil and a lot of controversy in the world, we need to make sure people understand the good that is coming their way.
Because it's coming. It is coming, my friends. It is. You just don't realize it. I know it only took Ronald Reagan a couple months to turn things around and Donald Trump to turn things around. But, I mean, 3 years in, it's coming.
Because of the president's leadership and because of their work. It's why I'm going to be on the road even more. You're going to see the president continuing to be on the road. And look, we've also got to work with partners on the ground to help make sure that their residents connect the dots. Now, obviously, you know, some governors are going to be more likely than others to share credit with the president.
A few others,
but all of them are taking the money.
All of them are taking the money. All them governors are taking the money. Yeah, they are. I told you. If you hear the question and you've heard the question, what would Joe Biden do differently if he just set out to destroy the country? And the correct answer is nothing. There you go. And he doesn't want to fix the border. Here's MSNBC last night. Even though the border is your number one concern, you're terrified of what's happening at the southern border. You want the damn border shut down. This is MSNBC, by the way, in its death throes. MSNBC is in its death throes, and they will cease to exist because they are purveyors of propaganda like we've never seen in a country that has the First Amendment. Listen to the arrogance and the hubris of these awful, awful people leading a panel discussion from Jen Psaki
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall.
They got a border with West Virginia. I guess that border is a great one. Honestly, I got to tell you, they are so intellectually and morally bankrupt. And Joe and Mika are the play-by-play announcers for the Hunger Games. You and I are the kids out on the field fighting for our lives to feed our families. And they sit there with the cast of MSNBC and CNN as these effete spectators not caring about any of us. Wow, just a wow. Gabe Kaminsky, Washington Examiner, on the way. Don't go anywhere. This is the Rob Carson Show. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but things are pretty volatile in this country. A lot of people are having to come back out of retirement to work. That number's gone up 400% because we don't know which way the stock market's going to go, which way interest rates are going to go. Silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to prepare wealth and hedge against economic instability. Physical silver provides you with a tangible asset that you can hold on to in your hand. CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in tangible coin assets. Every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your silver and gold coin collection with confidence. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money itself, right? So go to csnmint.com/newsmax. Use promo code Newsmax, and you'll get one free silver eagle over $30 in value with your purchase of $75 or more. Browse the entire catalog at csnmint.com/newsmax and find out what works for you, your budget, and your family. That's csnmint.com/newsmax and use promo code Newsmax, okay?
Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia.
MSNBC last night, their panel just making fun of your concerns because you're the little people. You're the kids fighting one another in the Hunger Games, and they sit there in the stands with their elitism, making more money than they should ever make because they don't have any viewers. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. Real quick note here. The UN, the WHO pandemic treaty could change the course of healthcare forever. And I'm not joking around here. No. If this treaty succeeds, it could affect how doctors prescribe medication. This could restrict access to life-saving medications when you need them most. Yeah. According to UN director or WHO director general Tedros, whatever the hell his name is, who spoke virtually from Geneva, the treaty would become a legally binding pact between countries working together. Do you want anything to do with that? You want to get ready for that? I think you should, and you need to get an emergency medical kit from the wellness company. I've got one, and I've got a story. Oh, boy, I've got a story next hour about ivermectin and the people who banned it, even though it works beautifully. And by the way, it's being used in cancer treatment and successfully. Breast cancer. Not kidding. Why's the problem? It's cheap. Doesn't make a lot of people a lot of money. But anyway, the wellness company's put together this emergency medical kit. You know what the CDC and the HHS did to you and me during COVID. And now you can get those meds without having to do what I did during COVID. I had to go to Florida and find a doctor down there to write me a prescript and send it to me so we wouldn't get, destroyed by the government. So what you need to do if you want those meds, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, that aren't horse paste, they work wonderfully, by the way, Z-Pak, amoxicillin, some of these things you may need, everything from a tick bite to a pandemic, and a booklet to give you instructions on which to use, when, and all that. Just go online, then do a little consultation, get an idea what your allergies are, what your meds are now, and they'll design one around you. And just go to twc.health/Carson. TWC.health/Carson. That's what you got to do.
If you want to save 10% and you want to get an emergency medical kit, one for your home, a travel medical kit, a pandemic, a medical kit, all of these things, if you have jumper cables, if you have extra food in case there's a supply chain breakdown, you need medicine. TWC.health/Carson, TWC.health/Carson. I guess somebody at CNN realized that maybe the border is a big deal.
I don't think that's what it is. I think the fact that the border is out of control and the Biden administration has made the problem worse is what's a bigger problem. The key portion of this electorate are going to be people who may not always like the way Trump talks or his choice of words, but they don't like the way Joe Biden's policies act. And immigration is going to be number one on that. Immigration and prices both. And that's going to be the pull and push of this campaign. Can the Biden campaign demonstrate that, in fact, they're going to take a new direction on immigration and on the economy? They're going to move more to the center? Or can Trump convince voters that to look past some of the rhetoric they don't like?
You could make the case that the immigration system is broken. I don't think many people will argue about that. But talking about poisoning the blood of the country,
the numbers of illegal immigrants and encounters on the border are what's going to drive this election. It's not going to end up being about Donald Trump's rhetoric. It's going to end up being about the numbers under Joe Biden and the reality American citizens are seeing in cities across the country.
And Joe Biden is too little too late. He's already cooked his own goose. There you go. I am told that Gabe Kaminsky, investigative reporter for the Washington Examiner, is on the Newsmax hotline, and I would like to say hello to him right now. Gabe, good to have you back on, man.
Rob, what's going on?
Not much, bro. U.S. aid watchdog began investigating tax dollars to terrorism-tied NGO. Then Biden sent it more cash. This is your latest piece in the Washington Examiner. Why don't you tell us what you found?
Yeah, thanks again for having me. In 2021, to set the stage here, the U.S. Agency for International Development, which is the largest foreign aid agency in the United States, they made a grant of $110,000 to Helping Hand for Relief and Development. It's a Michigan-based nonprofit organization. It essentially engages in aid overseas to assist foreign groups. But 2 years later, and shortly after that time, that grant raised the concerns of members of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, specifically because Helping Hand for Relief and Development isn't your run-of-the-mill charity. They actually share certain ties to terrorist organizations, including the Falahi Insaniyat Foundation in Pakistan, which is an arm of a foreign terrorist organization called the Lashkar-e-Taiba in Pakistan. Another example of Helping Hand for Relief and Development's ties to terror are that it has partnered in certain ways with a group called Jamaat, a political party called Jamaat-e-Islami, an international Islamist group that has committed genocide and also has actually funneled money to Hamas directly.
Wow.
So that's kind of the gist. You know, it's a charity. Lawmakers have raised concerns. But what we reported is that actually the USAID's Inspector General's Office, which is the office that has statutory law enforcement authority, launched an investigation actually into the Biden administration for giving that grant. So the Inspector General looking into the agency for giving that same grant. That was began around February 2023, and we were the first to report that. But that didn't stop the federal government, USAID proper, from about 6 or 7 months later, in October 2023, from sending another grant of $78,000 to that same terror-linked nonprofit organization.
Now, you say that they did know that it had terrorist links. They went ahead and sent the money anyway, which is remarkable. I realize that these sound like relatively small numbers, Gabe, but do you suppose that these are metaphoric for NGOs in this country, particularly with regard to foreign aid that is dispensed so haphazardly around the world?
Well, this is certainly a window into our complex and often heavily scrutinized federal grant and contract system that Republicans have particularly scrutinized and investigated for quite a long time. We've reported on other examples in which the Biden administration has dished out large amounts in foreign aid to the Gaza Strip or West Bank, to either groups that have supported or been linked to Palestinian terrorist organizations, not to mention the fact that the United States has sent millions of dollars in recent years after the Trump administration paused such aid to the UN Relief and Works Agency, an agency of the United Nations that the U.S. actually paused aid to after the October 7th terrorist attack due to its staffers participating in that attack alongside Hamas against Israel and sharing other ties to Hamas. So certainly, Rob, right, there is a major issue in this country that lawmakers have sort of sounded the alarm on about charities getting money while sharing ties to bad actors.
Yeah. Now, this on the heels of Barack Obama allowing Iran to begin oil production again, enrich itself there, sending pallets of cash to Iran. Also, I might mention, and you may or may not remember this, Gabe, immediately after October the 7th, the Biden administration, one of the things they said was there was an increase in anti-Muslim attacks in the country, while in fact a 2,000% increase in anti-Semitic attacks. And also one of the first things they proposed, literally out of the gate after the faux hospital bombing in Gaza, they proposed $100 million in aid to the Palestinian Authority. Did you recall that? I mean, if you didn't, that's one of the first things that they proposed. So I would assume, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, 100 million or whatever, how many 100,000 you're saying here, I would venture to say that their immediate attempt to just wholesale give the Palestinian Authority $100 million is an indication whose bread they're buttering.
Right, certainly. And I think that another example, Rob, that I would point you to, just to illustrate the complexities of what we've seen with foreign aid, there in 2021, internal documents came to light thanks to a watchdog group called Protect the Public's Trust last year. And that group found that in 2021, the State Department worried internally that there was a indirect high risk of Hamas getting benefit from any aid to Gaza or the West Bank. The State Department acknowledged that in 2021 during the Biden administration. But that didn't stop the State Department from restarting aid to Gaza with the knowledge of that, of which has happened. And meanwhile, you know, that only has increased relevance after the October 7th terrorist attack.
I got to tell you, Gabe, it makes me wonder whose side our country is on, the people in power are on. And sooner or later, the dearth of evidence is going to show that we've got some really bad actors in our government distributing our money to our country's enemies. The latest article is USAID Watchdog Begins Investigating Tax Dollars for Terrorism-Tied NGO. It is in the Washington Examiner. Gabe Kaminsky, always great to have you on. Where can people find, I mean, obviously, the Washington Examiner, but where can people follow you on social media?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at G-E-K-A-M-I-N-S-K-Y, G-E Kaminsky. And that's no TikTok for me. I think it's Chinese spyware. So,
yeah.
But I'm certainly on Twitter, so that's where you can find me, and I share my stories there.
All right, my friend. Thank you for joining me. And anytime you need anything, just give us a holler. We'll get you on. Okay, bro?
All right. Thanks. Take care.
All right. All right. Talk to you soon. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Gabe Kaminsky, G.E. Kaminsky, K-A-M-I-N-S-K-Y, by the way, is the thing. Yeah, I was talking about the MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, Jen Psaki mocking voters about illegal immigration. You're concerned. Biden administration flew 320,000 migrants into the U.S. This is according to Newsmax, by the way. Todd Bensman, he's been on our show, said that the CBP approved secretive flights last year alone transported 320,000 illegal immigrants from foreign countries into 43 different U.S. cities. The administration is both importing voters and creating a national security threat from unvetted illegal immigrants. Elon Musk posted on X. He said it is highly probable that a groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11. It's just a matter of time. Duh. Number of Chinese migrants, illegals, crossing the border at San Diego now exceeds Mexicans, is only second to the Colombians, with 21,000 entering there in the last 5 months. Joe Biden's presidency is the quid pro quo. It is. Here is, Alejandro Mayorkas, a little montage of him lying to Congress.
Is the border more secure under your leadership than when you started? Congressman, the border is secure. We're executing our plan, and I've been very clear and unequivocal in that regard.
Secretary Mayorkas, do you continue to maintain that the border is secure?
Yes, and we are working day in and day out to enhance its security, Congressman. Right. It's my testimony that the border is secure, and we are working every day, day and night, to increase its security. Individuals who pose a threat to public safety or national security are detained.
You are a liar. And I hope that you're not only impeached and removed. I hope you're frog marched to prison. I hope you face a tribunal for what you have done. For the 85,000 plus children who have been trafficked into this country and sexually abused daily in our country. For the 120,000 drug ODs last year, most of the young people on fentanyl disguised as prescription medications. Do you know somebody who has a family who lost a young person because of a fentanyl OD? Chances are you do. I know more people who have family members who've died of fentanyl poisoning than died of COVID. Here is Raul Ortiz. He was the director of the Border Patrol. Under the first 2 years of the Biden administration, why would the Biden administration not give him a call?
You don't just plant a flag just to plant a flag. It's got to be strategic, and it's got to make sense.
Raul Ortiz served as chief of the U.S. Border Patrol under President Biden and deputy chief under President Trump.
Let's move it forward, Justice Coach, because they kind of slam on Donald Trump. Here is a little bit more.
Or whether they're going to get media coverage. Hey, we're going to put all our personnel in this two-mile stretch. What about the other 200 miles?
In our interview, Ortiz criticized Governor Abbott for not cooperating with the Border Patrol and playing politics with immigration.
That's a lie.
But he also expressed frustration with President Biden.
Here we go.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people. That's a problem.
I just saw 50 people today who had just crossed the border illegally. So something's not working.
We need to make sure that Central America, South America, Mexico, that those regions understand that if you pay a smuggler and you cross in between the ports of entry and you do not have a legitimate claim.
Okay, let's just cut to the chase. Shut the damned border. There's a reason why it's wide open. It's to destroy us. It's not about votes anymore. Chinese immigrants aren't coming in here. Chinese military-age males are not coming here to vote Democrat. Duh. Corinne Jean-Pierre gets confronted by Peter Ducey. I've got the audio on the other side of this break. And this, my friends, is the Rob Carson Show.
I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president for that matter. And so I was the chief of the Border Patrol. I commanded 21,000 people.
That is the former head of the Border Patrol, Raul Ortiz, who said he never got a call, never had a meeting with Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, even though she became the border czar. She said she was going to find the real cause of the immigration crisis. And she lied. She's a filthy, rotten liar, and she should be brought before a magistrate or a tribunal, by the way. Here is Peter Ducey confronting Corinne Jean-Pierre about this yesterday.
Okay.
Be mindful.
Different topic. How's President Biden going to fix the border if he can go years without talking to the head of Border Patrol?
Listen to the bullcrap line she gives him.
He was literally just with the head, the chief of the Border Patrol, just this past Thursday in Brownsville, Texas. You all reported it. You
later.
All saw it. He was with the chief, Chief Owens, I believe.
85,000 children trafficked later. 100,000 people dying of fentanyl poisoning later.
The chief, who was in charge for 2 years before that, said, "I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president." How is that possible?
So one thing I will say about Chief, you're talking about Chief Ortiz.
This is Chief Ortiz.
Listen to
so
this.
He was invited, I believe, to participate in the president's first trip, visit to El Paso, which was back in January of 2023, and he did not attend.
Oh, well, that's a good enough reason to open the border and flood the country with illegals. Are you freaking kidding me?
He was invited. He did not attend. What I can say.
What are we in high school here? Are we in junior high here?
Is that you saw You saw the president with the present chief, which I think is important because we are dealing with challenges at the border, because the president has make that a priority, worked with the Senate in a bipartisan way to come up with a way to move forward.
Listen to how she reacted to the death of Laken Riley. This is going to make you vomit because she's talking about the murder of a young woman and she makes this political.
Last one. Yeah. Will President Biden publicly address Laken Riley's murder, allegedly at the hands of an illegal immigrant who was released by law enforcement multiple times on Thursday night? I know he's got a statement, but what about at the State of the Union?
Look, let me, I do want, this is such a tragic story and obviously situation.
Sure.
This is someone's life that was lost, so I do want to always acknowledge and extend our deepest condolences to her family and to her friends and the people who...
Well, why hasn't they been called? Why haven't they been called?
...who loved her. Yeah. And so want to always be sure to say that and because it's so tragic.
Tragic, yes.
Look,
here's where she pivots.
I don't have anything to share about the president's speech as it relates to that particular question that you have.
Of course not.
But we, you know, we want to always always be sure that we lift up the families who have lost their loved ones.
You're full of crap.
Way. And I would reiterate, you
Here
just asked me about the Border Patrol chief.
Here we
the
go.
President was just there with the current chief.
Here we go.
Owens. The president went to the border, obviously Bronville, Texas, to lift up the importance of doing something, of doing something.
And then she talked about the bullcrap bill they tried to pass through Congress that failed. Nice. Let's take a break and come back. This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show.
This is the Rob Carson Show. By the way, yes, yesterday was Super Tuesday. Donald Trump won all of the states except for Vermont. And Nikki Haley is pulled out of the race. There you go. All right, so we covered it. If you want to hear the monologue about the show, tune into the podcast today. And here's what you got to do. You just got to go to your regular podcast platforms and look up the Rob Carson Show. We put up the radio show every day into two segments that you can listen to when you're working out or doing whatever. And just, you know, check it out. Subscribe if you would. That would be huge. If you're on Apple Podcasts, if you give me a 5-star review, that would be gigantic. I've only got so many relatives and they've already written them. And then it starts to be repetitive. You can just go to Alexa and say, hey, I won't say E-A-L-E-X-A. Because, yeah, I've got one in here, and she's listening to me and all that, and it's kind of scary. Just say, hey, A-L-E-X-A, I love you. Don't become self-aware and murder me in my sleep. play the Rob Carson Show podcast. You know what happens? She'll play it for you. There you go. And then she'll go looking for Sarah Connor. So there you are. Make sure to check out the podcast and make it grow. Make it grow. Make it grow. Or as Captain Picard would say, make it so. So Ashley Merchant is now trending on the X or the Twitter. This is brand new from Trending Politics News. Fani Willis' secret meeting with Kamala Harris exposed by top attorney. What? Yeah. Ashley Merchant, the intrepid attorney for the Trump co-defendant who broke the allegations of an affair between Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis and her lover, Nathan Wade, indicated on the stand she believes Willis met with Vice President Kamala Harris at some point during her investigation into former President Donald Trump. Yeah, it's all being commanded and controlled right out of the White House. Right out of the White House. Right out of the White House. She's on the stand today, by the way. She's on the stand today. I'm just looking
because
at...
of what happened.
Yeah, here's some... just. I can't play it on the fly like this, but if she's trending right now, a violation of ethical obligations and misconduct has occurred, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't have it all, but I do have a little bit of additional news about Nathan Wade and Fani Willis.
Ah, yeah. A bad domain.
A bad domain.
I am a bad domain.
Well, garage door anyway.
Well, men don't know.
What the little girls understand, but men don't know, because he's sneaking in the back door.
Good morning.
Did he say funny? What?
When the rooster crows.
When the rooster crows.
Something telling me.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
You better get up and go.
Or do me. I'm not even sure.
I am.
Come on home.
A back door man.
You know, when I was dating, and you know, things were starting to get a little bit serious. What would happen was she would give you a drawer at her house, so you had a drawer where you could keep, you know, a little change of clothes, maybe a toothbrush, that kind of thing. You know, and then you're kind of, then you know, you're in like Flynn. And I don't even know who Flynn is. Not even sure where that cliche came from, but apparently I was a couple times. Tuesday's Megyn Kelly show, she was joined by attorneys Dave Ehrenberg and Mike Davis to discuss what witnesses are saying they knew about Fannie Willis and Terrence Bradley. Well, Terrence Bradley testified, and apparently he knew that Nathan Wade had been given, are you ready, a garage door opener at her house. Yeah. A garage door man. You know, it's special when you can get in the garage door and park your car so you aren't seen. You know what I mean? Yes. In a court filing on Monday, attorneys for Trump co-defendant David Schaefer and Cindy Lee Yeager, co-chief deputy counsel attorney for Cobb County District, blah, 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 informed them that Bradley told her Willis and Wade's relationship began earlier than stated. She also alleged that Wade personally prepared his own divorce complaint against his ex-wife and told Bradley to sign it, suggesting the attorney-client relationship did not begin until around November the 2021. Bradley testified that it began in 2018. Then in a phone call that this Yeager person, Cindy Lee Yeager, testified that she said that she heard Fannie Willis tell Mr. Bradley, they're coming after us. You don't need to talk to them about anything about us. And then apparently overheard a call that could be of interest about the garage door. So apparently it looks, what I'm trying to say here is he had a garage door opener, that she gave him a garage door opener. It opened all sorts of doors, apparently. I'm thinking that probably all sorts of doors is what that garage door opened up for Nathan Wade. I mean, also got $700K.
Sleep with Fannie Willis, all the money you made.
Can you imagine?
Nice work if you can get it. You can if you are Nathan Wade.
You're going to pay me $700,000?
The lawyers Fannie hired made half of what Nathan made.
And I get a garage door opener?
They should both be fired.
Hey!
Fulton County, you have been played.
Dooby-dooby.
Driving a new Audi.
This is Jim Gossett.
Your suits are custom made. Nice work if you can get it. And you can get it if you're Nathan Wade.
Yeah.
Lining your own pockets.
Oh, he did.
The people you betrayed. Nice work if you can get it. And you can get it.
Yeah.
If you're Nathan Wade.
And apparently he did. He got it big time. I'm thinking on more than one occasion. I love it when corrupt people are exposed. And this is going to haunt her the rest of her life. This is going to ruin her miserable, wretched, awful life. No amount of visits to church to do public speaking engagements is going to make up for her malfeasance. And again, the question is, which came first, the corrupt or the stupid? Clearly, the corrupt came first and then the stupid, because she thought she could get away with it. It's just so fun. It's just, oh my God, it's a good time to be alive in America, because, you know, now all this stuff's coming out. It's time to do one of these. Haven't done them in a while.
Stupid.
Just plain stupid.
Stupid as stupid does.
Who got stupid? So the woke Veterans Affairs memo called for a ban on the iconic VJ Day photo of the sailor kissing the woman in Times Square after World War II. Remember that? She grabs her and he tilts her and gives her a big old kiss. You know why? Because he was glad to be alive. Probably lost a lot of his friends. Came back home, saw a beautiful woman there, just wanted to give her a kiss, and she's like, okay. Because, you know, there's this amazing dance that happens between men and women. And when it is, it's a glorious thing. It really, really is. But apparently, was too much for the woke VA. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough was forced to deny the photo ban after a leaked memo signed by Undersecretary Lima
Rima Ann O. Nelson, who it should be Karen Ann Karenson. Let me be clear. The image is not banned from VA facilities, and we'll keep them in VA facilities. The memo instructed employees to promptly remove the image and replace it with one that's deemed less offensive. This, Rima Ann O. Wilson Nelson. What the hell, Rima? Go Reem yourself. She ought to be fired. Here's what the memo said. You ready for this? My dad were alive today. Well, first of all, I'd be 102 years old. He's old enough to be my grandfather. But anyway. The photograph, which depicts a non-consensual act, is inconsistent with the VA's no-tolerance policy towards sexual harassment and assault. Oh, you people. Oh, God, I can't wait till you're all frog-marched out and fired. To foster a more trauma-informed environment that promotes the psychological safety of our employees and the veterans we serve, photographs depicting the VJ Day in Times Square should be removed from all Veterans Health Administration facilities. Despite Secretary McDonough's announcement, many on social media slammed the VA for what they saw as another instance of woke policies. And it was. You stupid people. I mean, honestly. One critic said Biden's VA undersecretary hates men almost as much as she hates vets. She's banning the VJ Day photo by because the sailor did not obtain consent before kissing the woman. It wasn't a romantic event. It was an event of thank God the war is over. Another added they're trying to erase America's history. A third set of VJ Day kiss photos, American culture. To ban this is to ban our very own culture and veterans' morale. By the way, it took decades before Greta Friedman and George Mendoza, a sailor on leave, were identified as the couple locking lips in the picture taken by Life magazine photographer Alfred Eisenstadt on August 14th, 1945.
Stupid, 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 people.
Just plain stupid.
Stupid as stupid does, Miss Blue.
Who got stupid?
Really, 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 really super duper stupid. Progressivism is on the way out. Listen to this in San Francisco. And by the way, if you didn't know, Steve Garvey is now going to be running against Adam Schiff, who is a criminal, a liar. He parroted a lie. He said that there was ample evidence of Russian Russian collusion between Donald Trump and Russia. It was a lie. It was a filthy, rotten lie. He never had any evidence. It was proved by the Robert Mueller investigation. He is a scumbag. He's a filthy, rotten, pencil-necked scumbag. And he's going to get beaten, by the way. He's going to get beaten. Because if you think that this is going to ebb, and if you think this is just going to be, kind of a tit for tat with Joe Biden before November, you're wrong. It's going to get bigger for Trump. It's going to get bigger, more massive. And if Joe Biden is the candidate by November, he's going to get destroyed. Don't get me wrong. They're going to try and steal the election. They're going to do it. They're going to try and do it. As what is it, Donald Trump, he called it too big to rig. We've got to make it too big to rig. They're going to put us through so much, you have no idea what's coming. But now we know. Now we know. San Francisco voters who are tired of the crime, homelessness, and drug use plaguing their left-wing city overwhelmingly approved a pair of ballot measures on Tuesday that will expand police powers and require welfare recipients to be screened for drugs. Gasp. Shriek. Yeah. Proposition E, which authorized police to use surveillance equipment, cameras, drones, even facial recognition technology without prior permission from an oversight body, passed with 59,000 or 59.9%. The proposition, which also loosens restrictions on police chases and requires the officers spend less time on paperwork and administrative duties. It's almost like they're taking the handcuffs off the police that they put on and defunded because the left broke America because they're a bunch of morons. Proposition F, which mandates that anyone receiving public assistance benefits screened for substance abuse disorder. I wonder if Hunter Biden will have to do that. No, probably not. Passed with 63% of the vote. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. As part of the proposition, public assistance recipients found to be drug dependent could be offered treatment if it is made available at no cost. The recipient will be required to participate and continue receiving public benefits. Well, that's amazing. Progressive, this is the San Francisco Chronicle. San Francisco Chronicle. Progressivism is out for now. That's what they say. Voters make it clear San Francisco can no longer be called a progressive city. Well, it's because they stole the word progressive. And instead, they made it Marxist and they called it progressive. And congratulations. They turned San Francisco into Caracas. And the American people have had enough of it. Good news, people. Good news, but we got a long way to go. Coming up, Charles Barkley. I got some thoughts on him threatening to punch black people. And I understand his sentiment. He's wrong, but I understand where it came from. That's coming up. This is the Rob Carson Show.
Here's to a record-setting president. Joe Biden setting record low approval ratings.
What the Democrats have put our nation through. It is a sad day.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
We got Rick in Parkville on the phone. I took the last train there once. Yeah, I was in music radio for a long time. Rick in Parkville, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, brother, nice talking to you again. I feel like I got a lifetime friend in you. I don't know you that well, but you're a terrific person. God bless.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, brother.
I just want to expand on what I think has to be done, because I don't think we can wait 8 months. I would have somebody investigator. Can't we get to the point where they can impeach Biden, Kamala Harris, Mayorkas? I agree with you on Mayorkas. He needs to be reprimanded somehow.
No, tribunal. Tribunal, Rick. Yeah, tribunal. Tribunal.
A tribunal, an informal panel or committee where they can be removed from office, because I don't think we can wait that long, brother. And the repercussions of Donald Trump winning, if he does, I'm afraid there's going to be, you know, BLM and Antifa coming out, and that could be quelled very quickly with Donald Trump in office.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I don't think that some of these mayors will no longer keep the National Guard out. If they do, the American people aren't going to put up with it. The American people are not going to have the summer of 2020 happen again. We've already seen that with these idiotic anti-Semitic protests that are AstroTurf protests. The same people, by the way, who were doing BLM and Antifa. It's not going to happen. The snowflakes are going to get the snot kicked out of them by the American people.
Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, if it comes to the violence, that Donald Trump will enforce and he will implement some kind of thing whereby they are weaponized, and they mean business. It won't be rubber bullets.
Yeah.
They're dangerous. They're a danger, very dangerous. And this whole administration is the most despicable bunch of people I have ever encountered or heard about.
Yep.
The way they govern. They're despicable, Rob.
I know, bro. Well, hang in there, man. We got to stay focused. I appreciate your phone call. I want to play this real quick. This is my little, I mentioned this morning. I wrote a 5-page piece last night because I lost sleep again. And I came to a realization that so many are asking, what would Joe Biden do differently if he just wanted to destroy the country? And then it came to me, nothing. I'm not going to read this whole thing on the air. It's literally probably 25 minutes. I'm going to post it on my Substack. You can read it on Newsmax.com eventually. But here's what I said, and I want you to pay attention. This needs to guide you through November.
Guys, I am getting ready to do the show today, and I was thinking last night, a lot of people ask the question, if Joe Biden were to destroy the country, what would he do differently? And then it hit me. Nothing. That's why he has been installed as the president. That's why they engineered his victory and installed him as president. If you look at everything he has done, it is there because he wanted to destroy the country. I have a complete list, and I'm going to share it on the radio today. Joe Biden is the only person corrupt enough, senile enough, sociopathic enough to allow the destruction of the country and do it because other people are telling him to do it. I'm going to share it on the radio today, and it's very enlightening, and it all makes sense when you look at the decisions that are being made against the will of the American people.
Yeah, it all adds up, and I've got a list a mile long of all the things that have happened, all of the abuses and usurpations. And if you think that Joe Biden is going on vacation 40% of the time, you're high. He's working off the books, guys. He's working off the books in Delaware. He's working off the books in Camp David, where there are no visitor logs. His cabinet members, his administration are meeting with Barack Obama at his conveniently purchased home in Washington, D.C. Barack Obama told you, he said, if I could be the guy in my, in my workout clothes, just pulling the strings, I would do it. We're not stupid, guys. We're not stupid. Now, I've got more on this coming up. And again, I will put the column online, and I want you to share it. Substack at Rob Carson. And then I may record the actual column and post it on my Rumble channel at Rob Carson Show. But it's important. It's an epiphany, and I think it's really meaningful. Stay focused. We can win. We've got a lot of challenges. Last half of the show, last half hour, coming up. This is Philip Sayce, by the way. S-A-Y-C-E. I discovered his music a couple years ago because I'm a music aficionado. I did music radio for a long time. And Philip Sayce is like Gen Z / millennials age. You know, I think he's under 30. And he's like if Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan had a love child. Unbelievable. Not only guitar, but vocals. It's one in a million. No, one in 10 million that those two things have come together in his music is remarkable. Remarkable. I listen to everything, man. I listen to hip-hop, country, rock, hard rock, metal, all of it. All of it. You might want to, if you have a wipey nearby, just be ready because you're going to slobber on yourself when I describe what I'm going to talk about, which is Omaha Steaks. And I've been getting some requests for the steak topper that I've been making for a few years. What you do is you take a bowl and some soft butter, and you add some rosemary, sea salt, fresh cracked pepper, rosemary, and maybe a little bit of minced garlic. And then you make your steak. I pull it off the grill at 128 degrees. That is medium rare. But before I pull it off the grill, I put that paste of all of those things, and you can add some pecans or walnuts. Woo! Woo! Yeah! And then you just close the lid on the grill, and you let it get melty, and you take it off. All right? I will post that on social media, but there's nothing better with an Omaha steak. I'm from Omaha, by the way. Yeah, yeah. So I know a lot about Omaha and the Omaha stockyards and the history of it and the best beef in the world, where the ranchers and the cattlemen and the farmers bring their bounty to Omaha, Nebraska. And Omaha Steaks has an amazing heritage and the best beef you can find. And right now, semi-annual sale, 50% off. What? Yeah, 50% off. Now you're really slobbering. 50% off Omaha Steaks. Oh, my God. Here's where you got to go. Ready? OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. Not only that. All right, you ready? Not only that. 50% off. With qualifying orders, 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers. These burgers are ridiculous. You'll never eat another store hamburger again, ever, ever, ever. I don't even care. If you could buy the hamburger at the grocery store, you put Lipton onion soup mix and all that crap in there, you don't need to touch them because you taste the beef and they're, mind-bendingly good. So, again, OmahaSteaks.com/Carson. Their semi-annual sale, 50% off, half off. And with qualifying orders, 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers. Holy crud. Again, butter, gorgonzola. I forgot the gorgonzola. Butter, gorgonzola, salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic, rosemary, and maybe walnuts or pecans. I'll put it on social media, Rob Carson Show. I'll put it up now, okay, or after the show. There you go. OmahaSteaks.com/Carson for 50% off. By the way, Joe Biden decided to infantilize the American people by mentioning the Cookie Monster and blaming his inflation on companies that have to pay more for their raw materials and consequently put less in their packages.
But even as supply chains are back to normal, some companies are still not passing along the savings to their customers. Many corporations are raising their prices to pad their profits, charging folks more and more for less and less. But in fact, some of the small snack companies, you won't and think you won't even notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster.
Oh, there you have Cookie Monster.
His cookies are getting smaller.
Yeah, there you go.
Paying the same price.
That's just Jim Gossett, by the way.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. The bag's getting smaller. That's clear to see. The price is much higher. That's because of me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. I blame inflation on everyone but me. I blame the border on everyone but me. I'm as corrupt as anyone could be. Corrupt, 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 it starts with C.
Wow.
C is for cocaine. Hunter is hooked.
Yes!
He's been indicted, and soon I'll be booked. We'll be in prison. Our
goose oh, my goodness, Jim Gossett. Prison, that is fantastic. Brand new from Jim Gossett just sent me there. C is for cookie and crook and cocaine. That is fantastic. Oh, listen to this. This is from the Washington Examiner. They put together a little montage of all the liberal media freaking out over Donald Trump's massive victory on Super Tuesday.
Folks, if you have it in your mind that Donald Trump is just popular enough to win the Republican nomination, lose that thought, because at this particular point, when matched up against Joe Biden, Donald Trump is a favorite, which is something we couldn't say at any point in 2020,
yeah.
And really wasn't something that we could say at any point in 2016 when he was matched up against Hillary Clinton.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race.
You are an evil, awful, wretched... Did I say awful already? Yeah, woman.
Voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that...
No, we're more concerned about the Chinese military age males and all those people coming from our enemy countries.
They can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges.
Yeah, black people are being replaced, by the way.
Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. At this stage, it isn't about economics.
No.
I think he needs to talk to her donors and her supporters and say, if you want to... year from now.
That's Van Jones. He's a communist who got $100 million. $100 million. I believe it was from Bill Gates.
Watch Russian tanks rolling through Europe. Then, endorse Donald Trump and get on that bandwagon. But understand you're going to...
If Van Jones endorses your candidate, you're on the wrong side of history.
Wake up one morning and you're going to see horror across Europe, and you're going to have American soldiers, sailors, having to go over there and do something that we could have done with dollars. We're going to have to do with blood.
I revel in the fact that MSNBC is so freaking out. I mean, they are crestfallen. They are beside themselves. They can't believe this is happening, but you can. 100%, because you're done with the abuses and usurpations and nonsense. Wow. Oh, this is a glorious day. It really is a glorious day. And why I haven't dwelled on or gloated about Donald Trump's victory last night over Nikki Haley and Nikki Haley withdrawing is because we don't have time to bullcrap about it. We don't have time to worry about that. We've just got to come together and save the country. And, you know, I mentioned the other day, I said, I woke up and I walked outside last week and I smelled fresh air and I smelled spring. And yet there's this pall over the country. We can't be happy because there's so much suffering and there's an open southern border and we're worried about. And the reason being is everything is the same. Climate change is not destroying the world. We're all okay. But we have the most corrupt, awful, evil people in charge of this country. And they've ruined it. And we've got to end that. We've got to end it. We've got to come together so we can live in happiness. It's not about race. This is transracial. This is trans party affiliation. This is transgender. I don't know what the hell. But we most of us agree the country's going in the wrong direction. I'm asking you, wouldn't you just like to return to a time where we could disagree as Democrats and Republicans, maybe find a little middle ground, but the left has to be stamped out completely. That's it. They had their wad, and they shot it. And they blew it. And they absolutely blew it. So there you go. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley was on, I don't know, where was he? He was talking to Gail King. He was on the Black Federation, Conservative Federation. No, that's not it. He was just talking to Gail King. And there was this mugshot of Donald Trump when he was taken to the Fulton County, Georgia jail because Fannie Willis, the corrupt woman who gave Nathan Wade a little backdoor access and a garage door opener, had him arrested in a jail where inmates, black inmates mostly, die like monthly from neglect and abuse. It's a terrible place. And so some black men are wearing the shirt of Donald Trump because now they see a white guy going through the same crap that a lot of black people had to do at the hands of Democrats over the years. And Charles Barkley is mad about it. He's misguided about it, but he's mad about it.
You know who embraced it than anybody else? The black population.
This is Donald Trump talking about the mugshot.
It's incredible. You see black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugshot, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
I know, Gail.
Charles.
Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm going to just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm going to bail myself out and go celebrate.
Don't encourage him. Okay, but go ahead.
Seriously.
Continue.
First of all, if I was at that
conference, yeah.
I'd have got up and walked out. That was an insult to all black people. Because mm-hmm. He's basically just saying, and first of all, to compare black history where we've been discriminated against to his plight.
Yes.
He wasn't.
Well, first of all, he's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're prosecuting him for stuff he did wrong.
No, they're made up.
They're prosecuting him for stuff he did wrong.
No, that's not true.
And for him to compare...
It's still in the court system, Charles. We have to wait. It's still in the court system. But continue.
Well,
continue.
Some of the stuff is true. They did storm the Capitol. They did say that the election was stolen. Those aren't lies, Gail.
Yeah.
Those are
they
facts.
Did say that. They
okay.
Did.
Okay, so Charles is very misguided. He's hurt. And I can understand his hurt. I can. Certainly the United States has had its sins of racism. A whole lot of white people died who never were slave owners in the Civil War so that all men and they could be free in this country. And then the Democrat Party created the KKK and the Jim Crow South and tried to keep black people in chains. And if you're going to use that metaphor, they still are in cities like Baltimore and Chicago where kids are murdering each other black kids are murdering each other at 13 times the national average, where the schools are so ungodly broken that there's no future where the black nuclear family is completely gone. I understand it. But there is an understanding with regard to persecution by mostly Democrats, by the way. And I can understand his sensitivity, although he is misguided. Very misguided. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all I'm going to say about that. I've got a song parody featuring Charles Barkley, but I just played a song parody. I don't want to overkill, right? I don't want to overcall. Maybe before the end of the show, I'll play that. I just don't want to. It just did Cookie, and Cookie is for cocaine and all that stuff. So, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo subpoenaed by Republicans for deposition in the COVID investigation into his reckless mishandling of the state's nursing homes. Listen to this. Former Andrew Cuomo has been subpoenaed by Republicans in Congress. According to a copy of the subpoena and accompanying letter obtained by the Daily Mail, the committee is seeking additional information about Cuomo's order mandating nursing homes admit patients positive with COVID. It's about time. Remember when I told you about tribunals 3 years ago, how they would have to happen? Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo implemented nursing home policies that had deadly consequences for New York's most vulnerable population, according to Brad Winstrup of Ohio. Not only did the former governor put elderly in harm's way, he also attempted to cover up his failures by hiding the true nursing home death rate. It appears that politics, not medicine, was responsible.
The subcommittee decided to subpoena the former governor because he repeatedly refused to select subcommittees. The select subcommittee's attempts to schedule a transcribed interview in a reasonable time frame. He issued on March 25, 2020, an order that no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to a nursing home solely based on the confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID. In July of that year, the New York Health Department reported 6,432 individuals died of COVID in nursing homes. And you know why it doesn't matter? Because they're old people. Democrats don't look at old people favorably because old people just retire and need benefits like Social Security and Medicare. Yeah. 2021 report by New York Attorney General Letitia James discovered that many more had died and that Cuomo's administration was responsible. This is Pierre Corey testifying before Congress about ivermectin. Ivermectin was declared verboten by the CDC and the HHS, even though it literally it was effective against COVID in countries around the country. Also, hydroxychloroquine. And here is Dr. Corey's testimony. Pay close attention, because I said this 3 years ago.
This is what's called the forest plot. This shows 43 effective medicines in COVID. I've circled the only ones that were approved for use in the United States.
Why is that?
And actually, the circles are off, but if you look... probably can't see it, but if you look at the cost, the only things approved in the United States, all cost in the many hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
What?
Every zero, $1, $2, $5 medicine was completely ignored and never would reach regulatory approval.
What?
Further, when they did not get the result they wanted, in several instances, they were forced to change the original endpoint, a supposed never event in research science. And despite these manipulations, each of these studies' publications launched massive negative PR campaigns and recommendations from health agencies against the use of these inexpensive, safe, repurposed drugs.
Well, that is just kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah. You know how I knew this 3 years ago? Say it with me. Because I'm not stupid. Let's take a break and come back. This is The Rob Carson Show. Rage Against the Machine, which is what we have to do before November. So we just heard from Dr. Pierre Corey testifying before Congress saying that all of the drugs that were, looked at for, treatment of COVID were all the expensive ones. Those are the ones that were approved, but the cheap stuff like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were demonized. It's kind of weird. Here's Brett Weinstein talking about the same thing.
The CDC has become an excellent guide to protecting your health, but only for people who realize you should do the opposite of whatever it advises. The courts, the last holdout in this ongoing inversion of reality, are now regularly used as a coercive weapon of elites against those who threaten them.
Boy, this sounds like a whole lot like disinformation and misinformation.
We have literally witnessed the Department of Homeland Security attempt to set up a truth ministry and declare accurate critique of government as a kind of terrorism.
Disinformation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To my fellow patriots in the West, the pattern is unmistakable.
Yes.
I cannot tell you with any certainty who they are or what they hope to accomplish, but I can tell you that we are being systematically denied the tools of enlightenment and the rights guaranteed in our Constitution. We, those who remain dedicated to the values of the West, must fight this battle courageously, and we must win. For if we do not stem the tide, the result will be a dark age that differs from prior dark ages only in the power and sophistication of the coercive instruments wielded by those who will rule us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hallelujah moment I had last night, although I kind of knew about it. Yeah. I said the question, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this column that I wrote. It's 5 pages. The question has been asked, if Joe Biden had set out to deliberately destroy the United States, how would he have done things differently? The answer is nothing. Because that is why he was selected and installed as the president. And the election was rigged. The CIA was involved. The FBI was involved. Hunter Biden's laptop, Russia collusion, all made up, by the way. That's proof. It's true. It's true. It's as clear as the 8 spots on Joe Biden's face. He has massive corruption in his past, which buys his silence. He has sociopathy to disregard the needs of the American people. And he has the mental incapacity to not question those who are giving him and his marching orders. Let me posit a few questions to those who are confounded by his actions of the last 3 years. Why would Joe Biden open the southern border to everyone in the world, including military-age males from our nation's enemies? Why would Joe Biden allow our tax dollars to fund a lab in Wuhan that would create a virus that destroyed our economy, killed millions of people, and not hold China accountable? And it goes on from there for five pages. I'm going to post it on my Substack today. And this is a really good day for America. And I'm not just talking about Super Tuesday. I'm talking about a great awakening, because we now face the biggest internal threat to our country that we have had since the Civil War. And now we know it's been exposed. And now we know that it is in our government, in the deep state. And now we can fight it. All right? There you go. I'll post this on my Substack and on all social media later. Let's take a break and come back. This is The Rob Carson Show. Today's Epic Podcast will be up real soon. Go to your regular podcast platforms and subscribe. Also, ask Alexa to play The Rob Carson Show podcast. We're going to get through this, guys. It's a great day. God bless you. God bless America and Israel. And pray for America. And until tomorrow, don't catch a stupid. I'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. You can help by clicking the sponsor links in the show notes and take advantage of some great discounts available only to our listeners.